All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hello, and welcome to American Vindicta. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. We are on America's Most Unexplained, and we are still searching for the truth about the UFO and alien connection. Today's episode is 96, and this is the seventh part or eighth part of this series for the UFOs. Now, there has been articles that have been released today that are starting to make its way around the news of a document that the Pentagon recently released that was part of the ATIP project. Now, let's get into this document a little bit, just so that you can hear briefly what it is that we're trying to explain to you. Okay, the document is unclassified, and it is from the Defense Intelligence Reference Document, the DIA. And it is the Acquisition Threat Report. It is based over the anomalous acute and subacute field effects on the human biological tissue. So what does that really mean? What it really means is that the government has now released a document that is, I guess you could say, finally coming out and properly admitting the harmful side effects of being near a unidentified flying object or the unidentified aerial phenomena. Let's get into this article. It's from Daily Mail. UFO sightings have left witnesses with radiation burns, brain damage, and perceived time suspension, according to interviews in newly released Pentagon report from 2010. The physiological effects were compiled in a 2010 report that was just released. They include serious ailments like burns, paralysis, pain, rashes, and amnesia. Other effects include heat, sexual encounters, and claimed ESP development. The report is part of a trove of documents related by the Pentagon's now-defunct Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, which studied UFOs. The existence of the program was revealed by its former leader back in 2017. This article is wrote by Adam Mano from the DailyMail.com, and it was published on April 5th. Today is April 7th, 2022. Let's get into it. U.S. intelligence officials have evidence that UFO sightings have led to an adverse health effects like radiation burns, paralysis, and even brain damage, according to a newly released report from a shadowy Pentagon program that closed in 2012. The study classifies different types of encounters with unidentified objects, including ones accompanied by sightings of ghosts, yetis, or spirits, and others that result in injury, death, or even permanent healing. The report also includes a summary of UFO-induced effects that was compiled by a private nonprofit in 1996, ranging from the most common one of abduction to paralysis, eye injuries, electrical shocks, and even sexual encounters. The document is part of a 1,500-page from the now-defunct Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program, also known as ATIP, that were released to the Sun by the Defense Intelligence Agency, and the Sun is another mainstream media offshoot. Sufficient incidents, accidents, have been accurately reported and medical data acquired as to support a hypothesis that some advanced systems are already deployed and opaque to full U.S. understandings, quoted from the report. The report was released to the Sun as part of a Freedom of Information Act request from 2017. It was written by the secretive ATIP program, the existence of which was revealed by whistleblower and former head of the program, Luis Elizondo, that same year. The study is titled Anomalous Acute and Subacute Field Effects on Human and Biological Tissue. It is dated March 11th, 2010. Classified information exists that is highly pertinent to the subject of this study, and only a small part of the classified literature has been released, says the document. Attached to the report is a list of physiological effects experienced by those who have come in contact with UFOs or UAPs or the unidentified aerial phenomena. The list was compiled in 1996 by the Mutual UFO Network, MUFON, and covers the time period from 1873 to 1994. Among the effects are apparent abductions, 129 reported cases, electromagnetic effects on vehicles, 77 cases, perceived time loss, 75 cases, burns, 41 cases, electrical shocks, 23 cases, 18 cases of force field impacts, and 5 sexual encounters. Luis Elizondo, who headed up the $22 million Pentagon program studying UFOs, told GQ magazine about some of these effects in an interview in November. "I've got to be careful. I can't speak too specifically, but one might imagine that you get a report from a pilot who says, quote, 'Lou, it's really weird. I was flying and I got close to this thing and I came back home and it was like I got a sunburn. I was red for 4 days,' he says. Well, that's a sign of radiation. That's not a sunburn. It's a radiation burn. Then a pilot might also say if they had got a little closer, they would tell him, 'Lou, I'm at the hospital. I've got symptoms that are indicative of microwave damage,' meaning my internal injuries, and even in my brain, there's some morphology there." He also added, "And then you might get someone who gets really close and says, 'You know, Lou, it's really bizarre. I felt like I was there for only 5 minutes, but when I looked up at my watch, 30 minutes had went by. But I only used 5 minutes worth of fuel. How is this possible?'" Well, there's a reason for that, we believe, and it probably has to do with the warping of space-time. The report shows the extent to which the government studies UFOs, going so far as to brand different types of encounters with different ratings. Anomalous behaviors are rated as AN1 or Alpha November 1, which have no lasting physical effects, such as lights and explosions. Now, AN3s, or the Alpha November 3s, come with associated entities like ghosts, yetis, spirits, elves, and other mythical legendary entities. Alpha November 5s are those that include reports of injury and death. Similarly, Close Encounters, or CEs, that's the Charlie Echoes, are divided between CE1s, in which a UFO comes within 500 feet of a witness, CE2, in which a close encounter leaves landing traces or injuries to the witness, and CE4s, in which the witness is abducted. CE5s are close encounters resulting in permanent psychological injury or death. Officials said that the UFOs are from unknown provenance that may be a threat to the United States' interest. The report was obtained by The Sun as part of a 1,500-page cache that the British tabloid first asked for in December of 2017, days after Elizondo revealed that the existence of the ATIP program to freelance journalist Leslie Keen. The program existed from 2007 to 2012. The trove of documents also included letters from the former U.S. Senator Harry Reid of Nevada, asking for the project to remain a secret. In a letter from 2009, Senator Reid said that the program had identified several highly sensitive, unconventional aerospace technologies requiring extraordinary protection. One document that's a $12 million contract was awarded to the Bigelow Airspace. Now that's the Bigelow Airspace Advanced Space Studies, also known as BLASS, B-L-A-S-S, to study advanced aerospace weapon threats from the present out to 40 years in the future. It was the only company to bid for the project. Mind you, getting off of this Daily Mail article, it was also Bob Bigelow's Bigelow Aerospace that purchased Skinwalker Ranch, created the NIDS research team that also led into the discovery and research of many phenomenal things that happened at that ranch, to include all different types of unidentified aerial phenomena. And if you've never read the book Hunt for Skinwalker, I strongly advise you can go to Audible and download the audio version of the book and listen to it. I enjoy the audio version of it very much. It's very well wrote, very well read by the narrator as well. And you can't understand what I'm talking about until you listen to the experiences that Colm Kelleher, who is one of the lead researchers and scientists, and all the men of the NIDS research team are all accredited doctorate scientists. This isn't hocus pocus. These were real professionals that were sent by Bob Bigelow to respond to Skinwalker Ranch when it had an episode. Years later, after owning this ranch and after monitoring it, it was purchased for $22 million by the United States government. I guarantee you it was purchased by ATIP. All right, so carrying back on into this article. Unexplained phenomena continue to puzzle U.S. officials who can't really explain where they come from. Last year, the Navy USS Kearsarge was chased by two car-sized balls of light during an unexplained encounter. The warship was reportedly followed by the UFOs while it was on a training exercise off the East Coast in October, filmmaker Dave Beatty told The Sun. According to Dave Beatty's research, two objects were seen near the ship for several nights, with Marines on board becoming shocked when the Navy's anti-drone, quote, Ghostbusters did not deter the balls of light. The object was 200 feet above the ocean and followed the ship for half a mile. A retired U.S. Marine officer who wished to remain anonymous tells Beatty. Beatty is the director of the 2019 documentary The Nimitz Encounters, which dives into the famous 2004 UFO encounter by the aircraft carrier USS Nimitz. The Nimitz sightings were first leaked online in 2007. The New York Times then confirmed in 2019 that at least six Super Hornet pilots made visual or instrument contact with the tic-tac-shaped UFO on November 14th of 2004. The recent encounters, which Beatty said he only had compiled preliminary information on, will likely spark new interest in unexplained encounters by the U.S. Navy. Though the office that created the newly released UFO report has now closed, a new one will take its place. In the wake of the woefully insufficient Pentagon report from June, in which the U.S. government admitted it could not explain the vast majority of unidentified aerial phenomena, the Department of Defense is increasing its efforts, creating an official group to study these events. The announcement made in November will see the establishment of the Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group. AOIMSG is the acronym for it, succeeding the U.S. Navy's Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force. It will be part of the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence and Security. The AOIMSG will work across the Department of Defense and the entire U.S. government to detect, identify, and attribute objects of interest in special use airspace and to assess and mitigate any associated threats to the safety of flight and national security, according to a press release issued by the Department of Defense. The move to formally establish the office was made by the Undersecretary for Intelligence and Security, Ronald S. Moultrie, who was directed by Deputy Secretary of Defense Kathleen Hicks and Director of National Intelligence Avril Haines. We're going to go to a break, and we're going to be right back.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. Thank you for listening. This is American Vindicta. I would like to say before we get back onto target with this show that currently what we see happening around the world with the World Economic Forum, with the notions of hierarchies from the government around the world that are frequently telling us that we're about to run out of food. We're coming into the precipice of a world war with Russia. That they want to take our economies down and put us all on a digital currency should be shocking to you. It should be worrying, and you should be preparing. You can prepare with SteveQuell.com and his medals at SQMedals.com. You can prepare with Bob Griswold at ReadyMadeResources.com. You can prepare with Mountain-State-Survival.com. And you can also prepare with this show. By spreading this information to friends and family, to people who don't know very much about this information that I constantly share on here, and doing your best to enlighten other people. Now, it should be our goal to try and save as many people from hell as possible. And with that, make sure that you're reading your Bibles every day, that you're praying every day, that you're doing your best to spread the good news of our Lord every day. We see the debauchery of this country, and I mean, there are words that I want to use to describe our country and the people that run it that I can't on this station. But it is abhorrent, very much demonic in my eyes. And I just want you to know that you need to be guarding yourself and your family and your children against what we see happening. These people who run this government currently, they want your children. They want your home. They want your guns. They want your rights. They want you to denounce God and accept their new God. We have a battle between the old guard and the new, between the old world order and the new world order. And I believe that this new establishment of this world order will become the technocracy that will eventually take over all systems of life that you have to use. And with that, I mean anything that involves electricity. Think of it like this. When governments give themselves the power to then harness even the electrical grid, they can, because now, of course, you have to pay an electric bill. They can find out if you're a dissenter based off of your search results from the internet, based off of the videos that you watch on YouTube through analytics. They can document people that are going out to protest. They can document people via the way that you vote or by the political sign that you have out in the front of your yard and say, ah, there's one that doesn't believe what I believe. Let's start shutting his power off. Eventually, they'll come to our side. Don't ever think that people are not low enough to do that. And don't ever think that people are not, how would you say, well technologically connected in order to have those methodologies come to life. Go ahead and don't pay your bill for your electricity and see what happens. They'll shut it off within 30 days. Just imagine the day when politicians have utter control over this entire system. Currently, I am doing my best to work on this UFO series. I'm still following politics. I'm still following the news. I'm so disgusted by the politics and all the transsexual propaganda and the LGBTQ propaganda that keeps coming out there. You know, here I am just trying to live my life, and here they are every day trying to tell you why you need to accept them at gunpoint. And we see the quiet affirmation from Congress currently to put a person, Ketanji Brown, into an element of supreme power in this country by electing her to the Supreme Court of the United States as a justice. And we see how lighthearted she is on child sex rapists, on child porn. Things that, if it were up to me, and just hear me out, you should be very humbled that someone like me is not in power. Because if I found anyone in possession of child porn, you would not get the Kentaji Brown service. You would not be patted on the head and told that she understands and then give you a lighthearted sentence. Where I come from, I would take you out into the swamps, put you on your knees, and I would tie you to a stump, and I'd let, how would I say this, Mother Nature sort out your survival. And to me, that's lenient. I have friends of mine that are, you know, still current law enforcement who have been on the unfortunate task force or assignment of taking down child sex predators. And I'm telling you, you need more than just a beer and a cigarette to relax after you do any of these case files for child pornography. It changes you. It changes you for the worse, because there's something within the human psyche of the average normal person that views this material with such indignation and hatred and disgust for the perpetrator, or even for the person possessing any of this material, that I am deeply shocked. And honestly, I don't want to say I admire the officers who keep their hands to themselves, but I'm honestly shocked that we do not outright execute people in the streets for these types of actions against the most innocent civilians, because that's what they are, citizens, that's what they are, of our nation. And that's our children. You know, for a long time, the woke left went on about the Harvey Weinstein rape scandals, which were probably all true. And the Me Too movement went around the world condemning any man for anything, even if they were accurate or not, even though we, you know, I guess failed to mention Jeffrey Epstein in this one or Bill Clinton. But what about the children? When do the children get the fair treatment? Because politicians and adults are completely okay with killing children in the womb. Politicians and adults are consistently arrested for soliciting minors for sex or for child pornography means or rape of children. And yet, they get to live their lives. They get their three hots and a cot in a prison cell. And then the child, if they survived, gets to grow up mentally scarred and never gets to be fully committed to being the, I guess you could say, average adult. When you experience a trauma, especially if you hear of people who have experienced any type of trauma as a child sexually, to me, it's, I can't say what I would do on air to someone, but I'll tell you this much, you wouldn't survive if it was my child, period. And I feel that should be the strong point for all parents, you would think. But it's dangerous when we start to go down this path of normalizing adult-child sexual relations, when we go down this path of being lenient on the sentencing for child sex rapists, possessors, or producers of child pornography. You know, if you want to be lenient on someone who has purchase child pornography and they're caught, I'll be lenient for you. Tie them to a tree and keep a flog, keep a cat of nine tails laid down at the ground for anyone as they come by. Keep them there for a week. Give them water and that's it. And if they survive, maybe they'll learn their lesson. But until we start to treat crime harshly, people are going to continue to think they can get away with it. Like your politicians, who are allowing someone like Ketanji Brown to become the next Supreme Court Justice of the United States of America, to be absolutely lenient on pedophilia. This is the same woman who is involved in the whole Pizzagate scandal, so should we be surprised? Should we be surprised that the elite put an advocate for their heinous crimes? Should we be surprised that their advocate should be put into Congress to be selected to the Supreme Court? This, by the way, is just the beginning of packing the court from the Democrats' standpoint. First, it'll be the one who approves of the child-adult sexual relations. Next, it'll be the one who comes for your guns. Then it'll be the one who says, you know what, the Constitution is a living document. And we need to amend a little bit of the First Amendment because some of you people are saying fake news and it hurts. You know what, your fake news is actually a national security threat. And in fact, the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice agree so much that they've actually labeled many of you, even within the halls of this Congress, as direct threat actors to the United States. So we're going to go ahead and just amend some of these amendments to better reflect how we think you should express yourself. They will put no limitations on sexual freedom of expression, but they will put lawful statutes against your right to keep and own and bear arms, or your right to a fair and speedy trial, as we see within the defendants of January 6th, still imprisoned. They will suspend your rights for a First Amendment because, you can't just circle the Capitol. What if you disrupt our meetings? We can't listen to you silly, stupid little people out there. We're the politicians. We have the $4,000 suits and the bodyguards. Remember, you elected me. A rebellion needs to happen in this country. I'm tired of tiptoeing around the topic. If you want to lose this country, if you want to see us go down a path that we cannot climb back up from, sit on your hands and do nothing. Recently, if you ever follow me on Getter, I posted something that should be, I don't know, would you say good that this happened? There was a lieutenant governor that, an African-American man who's a lieutenant governor, and he is at what appears to be a African-American church, an all-black church. I don't care if it hurts your feelings or not. That's just the way I see it. Okay. And he's being filmed saying that there's only two genders, which is great. I agree with you. Sir, I completely agree with you. There are only two genders. And he is so bold to say that if any of you are in the crowd writing this down, that your lieutenant governor even said something like this, that there are only two genders and that anything else around that is harming our country. If you want to come for my head, here it is. Come and take it. That is very admirable of that man to say that openly, even being an elected official. So I respect you, sir, for that. However, I would like a poll done for all people within the body of Christ. I would like to take a poll. If I were a pastor, and God forbid Wrecker ever becomes a pastor, I would take this poll. Raise your hand in the pews. Raise your hand if you're a Democrat. Okay. Because most likely, half of the people in that church that would raise their hands would be actual Democrats. So to you, I would say this. All of you Christians who are also Democrats, when we see what this good lieutenant governor is pointing out to be one of the worst things that's happening to our country with the transgender movement, trying to make our kids or sexualize our kids in grade school from kindergarten up, the women athletes being defeated by men athletes posing to be women, okay? The encroachments of the LGBTQ community, I guess that's horde, if that's what you want to say, their encroachments upon your average day, normal way of life at gunpoint. To you Democrats, I would say this. It's your vote that keeps everything evil in this country working right now. It's your vote that's doing this to our kids. It's your vote that's promoting the transgender movement. It's your vote that's promoting the transsexual story time hour in our kindergartens. It's your vote that wants to take the guns out of lawful citizens' hands. It's your vote that's opening up the borders, getting rid of Article 42. It's your vote that keeps the abortion clinics open. It's your vote that keeps the gangs well-funded, not just with munitions and arms, but by drugs, because you take down good policing actions and task force that fight the crime in your streets. It's your fault your crime is rising. It's your fault. Yours. Yours, Democrats. It's your fault that one day this country is going to be invaded and we won't have an answer for it. It's your fault that the January 6th committee has labeled 80 million people in America as terrorists. It's your fault that we followed the science. It's your fault that we have gotten ourselves into the hell on earth that is America now. We are the whore of Babylon now. And the majority of it, I'm not afraid to say it, are the Democrats' fault. However, Republicans, you're not much better. Most of you rhinos and most of you voters of the rhinos that elect people that you don't vet, that keep the people in power, that vote the same way as their friends across the aisle do, it is also your fault for keeping those people in power. Our nation is going to hell based off of our votes. We saw in 2020 just how much your vote doesn't matter. I think it's time for a rebellion against this. I think it's okay that we start to talk about it. You better start talking about it now. You better start planning for it now. The politicians have had plans upon plans, and the average everyday American is very reactionary to the government plans. Maybe our vote can still stop it. Maybe not. It's worth a shot, though. It's worth a shot because the next series of plans is going to be to excommunicate you, to take you out of your home so that you'll own nothing and love it, so that you won't eat meat anymore and you'll love the veggie burger. You'll love the meat that's comprised of bug protein. It's time for a change, America. It's time for us to stand up, to say we're done with this, we're not going through this anymore. And it's time for the leaders of America, who are already there at these political polls, who are already there behind the pulpits. It's time for you to stand up as well and let your voice be heard. All you mighty men of God, all you mighty lions, let me ask you a question, men of God. Once we were mighty lions, when did we become tamed house cats? Our country is going to hell based off of our votes. It's time for a change. All races and all people, one America, under God. We're going to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum has said, you will own nothing and you will love it. And that's represented by what's going on across the planet today, where the economy of the world is in free fall, and nowhere is it more in evidence than with our own President Biden deliberately trying to sabotage what we have, access to food, other resources. So Americans are in a unique position, really for the first time in our history. We're going to have to provide for ourselves or subject ourselves to the whim of the government. Do you really trust a government to feed you that left 1,000 Americans behind enemy lines in Afghanistan? I don't think so. So where do you go? When you ask the question, who's the best prepper out there today? There's only one answer. Ready Made Resources and Robert Griswold. I call him King Prepper, and that's how a lot of people think of him. You have everything there you'd want, from night vision to storable food, how to prepare cooking in emergency situations, books and videos on how to prepare alternative energy, communication, first aid that you wouldn't think of, natural antibiotics, you name it, Bob has it. Now, here's the good thing about Bob Griswold that no one else does but him. You don't have to buy anything to talk to him. If you're not sure where to start with your preparation, no obligation phone call directly to Bob. You can talk to him for free. Most people will charge you an arm and a leg for a half-hour conversation. That's not Bob Griswold. He cares about helping America get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com or you can call the number directly at 800-627-3809. Again, that contact information, readymaderesources.com for the best prepping outfit in the country, or call Bob Griswold directly, 800-627-3809.
Welcome back to This American Vindicta. So, as you probably heard, occasionally I get these episodes to rant. Excuse me. Every now and then I know I hurt some of your precious feelings. And also understand, I'm a very strong proponent for sarcasm. I like to use sarcasm because sometimes I feel that I come across as hostile, or sometimes I come across as unapproachable. And one thing that the military taught me, and one thing that the police force taught me, was that using humor to help alleviate the stress during dark times, hard times, is good, I guess you could say, for the mental health. So I like to use sarcasm, and sometimes it comes across wrong. I know that almost everyone listening to me right now are good, wise people. You have your head screwed on straight. You know right from wrong. But there are some of you out there. Bless your heart. That's all I'll say. Now, you know who you are. So don't take that as a blanket statement that I mean that to everybody. All right. Now, let's get back on to today's program. So there are multiple reports, hundreds of reports, actually, of people that are encountering the unidentified flying objects. And during their encounter, they report time loss, dizziness, episodes of manic fear. That's one. They also report blindness in the eyes. They report paralysis to the symptom to where the body cannot move. Some report being levitated off the ground and then dropped, and obviously hurting themselves being dropped from a certain amount of feet off the air. People also report burns, severe burns, to the point that the burns are more closely related not to a sunburn, but to a radiological style burn, or even to the point that internal organs are injured. Even the brain is injured from microwaves. There are strange nuances with this, and I have a good encounter for you. It's an oldie but a goodie. On the evening of December 29th in 1980, a woman named Betty Cash and another woman named Vicky Landrum and Vicky's 7-year-old grandson, Colby Landrum, were driving home to Dayton, Texas, and Cash's Oldsmobile Cutlass after a night out of dining. They later said that around 9 p.m., while driving on an isolated 2-lane road in the dense woods of East Texas, where I'm from, they saw a light above some trees and that they first thought it was an airplane approaching the Houston International Airport, which is about 35 miles away, and gave it little to no notice. A few minutes later, on the winding roads, they saw what they believed to be the same light as before, but it was now much closer and brighter. They said that it came from a huge diamond-shaped object, which hovered at about treetop level, and that its base was expelling flame and emitting significant heat. Landrum told Cash to stop the car, fearing that they would be burned if they got any closer. A born-again Christian, she interpreted the object as a sign of the second coming of Jesus Christ, telling Colby, the grandson, "That's Jesus. He will not hurt us." Cash said she was anxious and considered turning the car around, but abandoned this idea because the road was too narrow and she presumed the car would get stuck on the dirt shoulders, which were soft from the evening's rains. Cash and Landrum said that they got out of the car to examine this object, but that Colby was so terrified, and Landrum said that she quickly returned to the car to comfort him, the grandson. Cash remained outside. She wrote that she was mesmerized by the bizarre sight. The object, intensely bright and a dual metallic silver, was shaped like a huge upright diamond, about the size of Dayton's water tower, with its top and bottom cut off so that they were flat rather than pointed. Small blue lights ringed the center, and periodically over the next few minutes, flames would shoot out of the bottom, flaring outward, creating the effect of a large cone. Every time the fire dissipated, the UFO floated a few feet downwards towards the road. But when the flames blasted out again, the object rose about the same distance. They said the heat was so strong enough to make the car's metal body painful to touch. Cash said that she had to use her coat to protect her from being burned by the door handle when she finally got back in the car. When she touched the dashboard, Landrum claimed her hand pressed into the softened vinyl, leaving an imprint that was evident weeks later. Investigators cited it as proof of their account. However, no photograph exists. They said that the object then ascended over the treetops and rose higher in the sky, and then a group of helicopters approached it, surrounding it in a tight formation. Cash and Landrum counted 23 helicopters and later identified some of them as tandem rotor Boeing CH-47 Chinooks, used by military forces worldwide. Great helicopters, I rode in them. With the road now clear, Cash says that she drove down, drove on, claiming that she saw glimpses of the object and the helicopters receding into the distance. From first sighting the object on its departure, they said the encounter lasted about 20 minutes. Now, based on descriptions given in the John F. Schussler's book about this incident, it appears that they were southbound on the Texas State Highway Farm to Market Road 14852100 when they claimed to have seen the object. The initial location of the reported object, based on the same descriptions, was just south of Inland Road, approximately a couple miles away. Let's just go ahead and say that. Okay, health problems. The witness claimed that after the UFO and helicopters left, Cash took the Landrums, the grandmother and grandson, to their home, then retired for the evening. The night they all reported experiencing similar symptoms, though Miss Cash, her symptoms were much greater. The claim was that they had suffered from nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, generalized weakness, a burning sensation in their eyes, and feeling as though they were suffering from sunburn. Over the next few days, Cash said her symptoms worsened, with many large painful blisters forming on her skin. When taken to a hospital emergency room on January 3, 1981, Cash could not walk and had lost large patches of skin and clumps of her hair. She was released after 12 days, though her condition was not much better, and she later returned to the hospital for another 15 days. In a 1985 HBO documentary called UFOs, What's Going On, Miss Cash claimed she was treated for cancer after being exposed to the radioactive UFO. The Landrum's health was somewhat better, though reportedly both suffered from lingering weakness, skin sores, and hair loss. Cash later developed breast cancer, and Miss Landrum had severe cataracts. A radiologist who examined the witness's medical records for MUFON wrote that we have strong evidence that these patients have suffered secondary damage to ionizing radiation. It is also possible that there was an infrared component. However, Brad Sparks contends that although these symptoms were somewhat similar to those caused by ionizing radiation, the rapidity of the onset was only consistent with a massive dose that would have meant certain death in a few days. Since all the victims lived for years after the incident, Sparks suggests the cause of the symptoms was some kind of a chemical contamination, presumably an aerosol. Now, investigators later located a Dayton police officer, Detective Lamar Walker, and his wife, who claimed to have seen 12 Chinook-type helicopters near the same area in which the Cash Landrum event allegedly occurred and at roughly the same time. These other witnesses did not report seeing a large diamond-shaped object. One day in April 1981, a CH-47 helicopter flew into Dayton, As Colby, the grandson, watched, he became very upset. Landrill decided to take him into the spot where the helicopter had landed, with the hope that it would seem less frightening on the ground. When they reached the landing zone, they found a lot of people there already and had to wait some time before they were allowed to go inside the helicopter and talk to the pilot. Landrum and another visitor both claimed that the pilot said he had been in the area before for the purpose of checking on a UFO in trouble near Huffman. When Landrum told the pilot how glad she was to see him, because she had been the one of the people who were burned by the UFO, he refused to talk to them further and hustled them out of the aircraft. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is today's episode. What do you think? Do you think UFOs can actually harm people? Do you believe UFOs emit some sort of radiological or chemical reaction to people that get too close between pilots and actual key witnesses that were there within a vicinity of these craft? We have had too many reports, that even to the point now that the government is coming out with their own documents just within a day or two, that are stating the similar results of people that are being hurt when they are in contact with UFOs. Just wait till we go over the abductions with Timothy Alberina. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. My name's Doug Thornton. You've been listening to American Vindicta. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.